The word today is Peter. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Peter was the main spokesman for the disciples. In Acts chapter 2, he delivers the message to the gathered crowd on Pentecost. Later, after a crippled man was healed, he delivers another message. Here to help us understand this message is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Peter.
As you know, the record of the first Pentecost is in the book of Acts, the second chapter. And on that occasion, Peter preaches a sermon. You know, I'd like to suggest that you keep reading there from Acts, the second chapter. Go ahead on through the third and fourth chapter, because every time Peter gets a chance to preach a little sermon, he draws attention to the resurrection, the evidence that Christ is the Savior. And that's the essence of his messages whenever he preaches. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to make a little outline of the preaching of the early New Testament church, not only of Peter, but of the other disciples and any of the apostles, it would be a reference to the major life events of Jesus Christ, that he came, he suffered and died for us, he was buried, on the third day rose again from the dead, Easter Sunday, and then with his disciples instructed them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That was the festival of Pentecost, and the tongues of fire that were on the heads of the disciples as they worshiped in that room, and the evidence in the speaking in tongues as the people from all over the then known world could hear the disciples proclaiming the news of Christ's suffering, death, resurrection, and the certainty of salvation in their own languages. What a marvelous, marvelous evidence. This is totally different, by the way, from the speaking in tongues that sometimes are referred to by the charismatic churches. These were known languages, and the people from those various parts of the world could understand them as their languages. It was a miracle, nonetheless, because the disciples that were speaking these languages were doing so under the power of the Holy Spirit. They did not know these languages normally, and so they were being used by God in a very special way to speak the knowledge of salvation. What a marvelous testimony to the love of God and to the evidence of the Holy Spirit being able to send that message into people's hearts and to convert people by the power of that message. The Holy Spirit is today present whenever God's word is spoken. God will always be present with his Holy Spirit to empower those who will listen, who will confess their sins, and who will turn to Christ to have the conversion experience of knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Now, in Peter's sermon, as he discusses the facts of Christ's suffering death, his resurrection, and the certainty that he will come again on Judgment Day, this is a message that he ends with almost always by saying that Christ should be your Lord and Savior. Now, actually, that was a very early New Testament creed. In fact, if you wanted to know, you know, supposing they were having a church service in the early New Testament and they finished up and said, okay, now anyone here who wants to become a follower of Christ, the normal procedure would be anyone who was accepting Christ and believing in him as their personal Savior would make a confession. And that confession, this is prior to the Apostles' Creed, prior to the Nicene Creed, and certainly prior to the Athanasian Creed, the three creeds that Christians use today to give evidence that they believe the writing of the Scripture and the teachings of Christ. Those creeds had not been written yet. That would be a little bit later, several decades later. But the early creed was, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Now, obviously, You know, anyone in their right mind would want to have a Savior and would be eager to say, Jesus is my Savior. He takes my sins away. He has forgiven me. He gives me life eternal. Of course, everyone would be anxious and ready for that. The stickler, so to speak, the tough one was, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Now, the word Lord isn't used an awful lot today in common everyday English language anyway, but it is a word that we know the meaning of very clearly. It means he is my owner. He is my master. I belong to him. Now, before you say that, you see, you better be ready to surrender everything to Christ. Everything. Not just parts of your life. I've known in my ministry, through the many decades of my ministry, which is now over 5 decades, I've known people who have given certain parts of their life to Christ. For instance, they may say, I have turned my business over to Christ. Or, I've turned my body over to Christ. I've asked him to take care of me, to protect me, to care for me, to give me health. I've known people that have turned their children over to Christ and said, I've had them baptized. I have given up ownership of them. I know that God owns them and that Jesus Christ is living in them. And my children belong to Jesus. I've known people that have given very certain parts or aspects of their life over to Christ. But what we're talking about here is a total surrender to Christ, not just parts. I knew one woman over the years who had turned everything over to Christ except her mind. And she was very mentally tortured and full of problems because of thinking. And it turned out that she had not turned her mind over to Christ. After she did, she found peace and comfort and relaxation. You know, the important thing I'm stressing today is if you want Jesus Christ to be your Lord, then it should be to control you, to, in a sense, possess you, to live within you so that your thinking, your goals, your ideas, your speech, your life, every part of you is to live according to God's will, that he owns you, that he is the one who controls you and guides you and leads you. That's what it means. So when Peter is saying that you confess Jesus as your Lord and Christ, he is not only the anointed one, not only the one that fulfilled the prophecy that he would come and save people, not only the promised one, but he is also the Lord who wants to live in you, control you, use you, and make you totally his. Not just partially, not just parts and just occasionally, but totally be surrendered to him so that he is your Lord. I wish we had a confession like that today. I think it would be very, very important in Christian churches, maybe at least once a year, to ask every member to say, is Jesus Christ still not only your Savior, but also your Lord? Does he control you? Have you turned your life over to him? I kind of wish that would become a tradition in the church, that it would serve very well, I believe, to recommit and to renew our turning of our lives over to Christ. Now, this is done not merely for the present. You know, a lot of times people will live in the past. Maybe they did something pretty terrible in the past, and they feel as though they're not quite sure they're forgiven, or maybe they feel they're troubled, and somehow they're going to have to pay for their past. Somehow, maybe, they shouldn't be allowed to feel too happy because of the evil that they did, or maybe the harm that they caused to somebody else. And so a lot of times people will live in the past, almost in remorse. You've probably met people like that, that are kind of negative and kind of down on themselves and they don't have much joy. Well, the type of preaching that Peter was doing here and that we should be doing today in the Christian church should erase all that fear about the past, because Christ's forgiveness is total and complete, and we don't pay for our own sins. Sometimes the consequence of sin. You know, let's say a person has been drinking a pint of bourbon a day and all of a sudden they end up with cirrhosis of the liver. Well, that cirrhosis of the liver is going to stay there even though they're forgiven. The consequence of sin, you hit somebody in the face and then immediately repent, well, you can have forgiveness if you're genuinely sorry, and there can be forgiveness, but that black eye is still going to appear, and the consequence of your anger is still going to be there. So Christ not only forgives us our sin, but also takes away our worries and our fears and our troublesome attitudes about the past. So forget the past. Christ has taken care of that. Move toward the future. And you don't have to fear the future either, because God says, I will be with you, I will protect you, I will never leave you, I will take care of you. So I want you to have a lot of courage and a lot of confidence in Jesus Christ. If he is truly your Lord, then he is going to watch for you and care for you and protect you as you move into the future. Not only taking care of the past, but also guaranteeing the future will be under his blessing and his guidance. What a marvelous privilege we have when we say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Not only solving the problems of the past, but guaranteeing us. You know, there's a word in the New Testament I love. It's called Ebenezer. Ebenezer, it means God has been with me up till now, and the assurance then is that he will continue to be with me in the future. He will take care of me, guide me, bless me, lead me, protect me. All these things are the blessings of those who have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now that enables us to go courageously into the future. I hope you are that kind of child of God. You've turned your life over to Christ. He belongs to you completely. You belong to him completely, and you look forward to serving him until that day when he takes you to his heavenly home. This is the beautiful, beautiful comfort that a person has when they are a child of God. They can not only put away all the worry and sorrow of the past, but they can look forward with courage and confidence into the future, knowing that Christ is with them. Our God is a loving God, and he wants you to have a wonderful life, and his being with you will guarantee you that.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.